Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and my co-host, David Curry, my husband, and for all of our watchers today, we have got great fashion going on. And if you haven't looked into Louisville, Kentucky, it was the 151 Derby, and we are excited for this episode for you to listen. But before we jump into it, I've got a quote of the day. Operational process and systems are the key to wowing your customer. And that comes from Bill Mudd, president and CFO of Churchill Downs. David, yep. What a week. What a month.
Yeah, it's a big week. It's a big week here in Louisville, Kentucky. So, Lindsay and I were fortunate enough to partake in a little bit of that. It is a week-long event. Well, like you said, a month-long. It's a week-long of horse racing here in Kentucky. So we are paying tribute to that. There is a lot of spotlight, a lot of attention that gets brought to our city. We wanted to honor that this week on today's show and honor a good friend of ours, Bill Mudd. So Bill, like Lindsay said, is the president, CFO of Churchill Downs. He started at Churchill in 2007. So I just want to put some context to the player that Bill has been and kind of the power that this message can bring, right? So in 2007, Churchill Downs estimated value of Churchill Downs was $600 million in 2007. Okay. 2025 today, since Bill, so Bill started as their CFO and has been promoted to president and CFO. It is now a $8.3 billion company. So we're learning, we wanted to have some fun with this. Again, shed some light on the Kentucky Derby. 151st running is the longest consecutive sporting event in the United States. We're proud to be a host of that here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we're going to kind of dissect a podcast that Bill did. And if we want to plug the podcast, it's David Novak, who is a co-founder of Yum Brands, which encompasses KFC, Pizza Hut, and Long John Silver, a couple other things, also has been domiciled here in Louisville, Kentucky as well. David hosts a podcast, How Leaders Lead. This was an episode that him and Bill did. And we're going to just dissect that. In my opinion, again, and it's really what we're all about, right? It's learning from others that have been there, are bigger than you. You know, as a community, that is how you can grow faster than growing on your own. So plugging in, learning from Bill in this episode was a big deal. And we're going to talk about four things, you know, four principles that I think, as David asked him, Bill, what are some foundational points that you have learned through your life that you are using to lead this organization, right? Again, from a $6 million company to an $8.3 billion company. Those are a lot of gains, huge. Big gains. So, to kick that off, we'll talk about Bill's first point that he referenced that he really learned as a child that still holds true to him today. And that is that you do what you have to do to get the job done. So again, we are all about simplicity, and simple things go a long way when they're done and executed properly, right? So it sounds easy. Do what you got to do to get it done. We've used a word in our business, I know, Lindsay, a lot, resourcefulness. You know, we've said a key to success in our business has been resourcefulness. So I wanted to put some context and really define what resourcefulness means. And resourcefulness by Webster's is the ability to find clever ways to overcome difficulties. So as Lindsay and I were talking about this, it was like, yes, we have our system, you have our process, and if the playbook works out right, you just run the play and everything falls in line and everything's perfect. But as most of you know, that's not really how life goes, and especially not how sales go. So resourcefulness would be when you're running the play and you may hit a roadblock, how you pivot, how you do something a little different that then still gets the job done for you. So like we said, do what you got to do to get the job done. Lindsay, when you think about that resourcefulness and how that's played out for us over the years, what are some of the things that come to your mind on that?
Well, you know, something that Glenn Crabtree, who is actually the president of Orca Life, who we've had on a few different episodes within Hype, you know, he always talked about if it's not working for you, change something up, right? Change up your appearance. Knock on someone else's door that did not receive the lead card. But when you talk about being resourceful, I'll never forget. It was my first week out there knocking doors, and I had my stack of lead cards, and actually I'd spoke to Glenn before I knocked doors, and I'm like, hey, this guy's 83 years old, and Glenn was standing there, and he said, well, that's the daughter's handwriting. So he kind of gave me a little heads up, right? So he said, you're going to go in, you know, do the process, but more than likely, you're going to have to get the daughter involved. He's 83 years old. She may be in charge of his finances, all these things. So knock on the door, get into the house, your typical final expense house, get in there. And sure enough, his daughter was the one that mailed the card in. So while I'm there, I'm like, all right, I've got to get in touch with the daughter. So got her phone number, got in touch with her, let her know I was here. Dad was okay. Nothing wrong with dad. Just following up about the card, really walked through that process. Hey, I'm going to see if dad could get qualified first, and then I will go out to your house and see you. And so, you know, after I sat with dad, got him qualified, then I drove about 45 minutes to go sit down with the daughter. Why did I do that? I did that to get the job done, and because the daughter was in charge of his bank account. She was the one that was concerned to ensure that he had a benefit at the time of his passing, right? Because she was going to be in charge of all of it. So went through the whole sit process again with the daughter, explained the value, explained how he qualified, and ended up getting it done. Now, had I not reached out to the daughter, I wouldn't have went anywhere with that lead, correct? Because she's in sole control, and she was the one who was going to benefit from it and protect her and her family at the time of his passing. So, you know, when you talk about being resourceful, that is one of the ways, and especially in sales, David, and especially in final expense, being resourceful, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? And sometimes you just have to look. We are in Kentucky, folks. Sometimes you just have to look, okay, how else can I get this done?
Yeah, there's a lot of hurdles that show up for us, right? I mean, we're running a lead card. They don't know that we are going to arrive and sit down and visit with them that day. So you never know what you're going to get. And like you said, you're never going to be able to make a sale without the decision maker. And like you mentioned in that case specifically, and what we see so much is a lot of times, especially as mom and dad get a little bit older, they aren't really that decision maker anymore. They lean on people to help them with those things. And if you want to get that deal done, it may be uncomfortable to get the daughter on the phone, go see the daughter. Maybe the daughter's at work. Maybe you have to come back after she gets off work. Doing those things that aren't the normal is what gets the job done.
Absolutely. Or maybe even stopping to ask for help or directions, because a lot of times you might know the address might not be exact. And so stopping to ask for directions, that's another opportunity to share that information with that individual that you stopped to ask directions for. I can't tell you how many times I did that and ended up helping that individual or selling that individual and then getting the directions to the actual individual that mailed the card in.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could probably spend our entire time today talking about how to get resourceful in our business. As you say that, I think about what you said at first. When things aren't working, change it up. And for us, a lot of those things, one thing we teach as a change up is what we call Cloverleaf. And again, we're taking a lead card out and they don't know we're coming. So guess what? They might not answer the door all week long, or we may never find them home, but their neighbor might be there. And that, again, is an example of getting resourceful, right? If I'm showing up to knock on this door and all week long I don't find this door to be home, but every time I show up, there's somebody sitting out in the front yard next door, just that uncomfortable conversation, just walking over there, not having that cold call reluctance and saying, "Hey, Mr. Jones, you know, have you seen me knocking on this door all week long? Where is she at?" Right? That is doing what's outside of the normal to make sure that something gets done. Do what you got to do to get the job done. We could go on and on and on about the things that we do. You know, the other thing I think about in the home is calling the insurance company. It was always an uncomfortable thing for me, but this is such an important aspect that shows up time and time again in our business. You're sitting down with the family. They tell you they got it all taken care of. They've got 50,000 of the best whole life insurance they've ever found, and it's half the price that you know you could help them out with. And what you've got to do in that moment is think, well, do they have what they tell me they have? And the only real way to answer that question is by getting the insurance company on the phone. And a lot of times you may be hit with, oh, no, that's what I've called that company. But doing that uncomfortable thing outside of the box and showing them or have been telling them, you've got to show and prove versus tell, even though you as an expert may know what you're telling me isn't, certainly doesn't line up with the truth I know.
Well, and that's being a true service provider, right? That's going the extra mile of, hey, instead of me sitting here as the stranger telling you, I'm going to show you, right? Whether that be the policy or getting the company on the phone where they could, you know, share with you exactly how this policy works. And that is being a true service provider instead of a salesperson.
It is, yeah. And I think that's the key, first key, right? Resourcefulness. To be a true provider, especially in our industry, it's doing the things that most people won't do that sets you apart and creates that success for you. So key point number one, you got to get resourceful. Do what you got to do. Number two, I love this number two because we have lived this and we've seen the positive and we've seen some negative from this. But he says, Bill, you have to listen to what the outcome needs to be from the top. Or if you're sitting at the top, you've got to transfer details along to the front line so they know how to execute. Mm-hmm. Communication, communication, communication. Key number two is excellent over-the-top communication is a must for you to win. And I was just asking you, Lens, communication has played a role so big in our story, right? When you think about some of the examples of good communication or bad, how have we seen the value of communication play out for us?
Well, David, when you think about communicating from, you know, maybe executive team to leadership team to our agency, you know, it's really, I'll never forget this quote. I heard it on a John Maxwell podcast. He said, putting the cookies on the bottom shelf. Now think about that, putting the cookies on the bottom shelf, right? So taking something that might be complex, you know, maybe not explaining all of the details, but really just communicating effectively to where the frontline individuals, the agents that are scratching at the apps, understand exactly what it is that they need to execute. And time again, that has been a strength, but it's also been a weakness. Each and every one of you that are listening right now, we're bombarded every day with that emails, text messages, all of the apps that you have, whether that be school apps or your style of communicating through your business. There's a million apps that we are all on. And sometimes it's hard to keep track of all those apps and notifications. I am very guilty of that. So ensuring that I'm having those conversations with our leaders, hey, just checking in to ensure that we're communicating. A prime example, David, you know, with the cost of leads, right? Direct mail. We still utilize that within our business. We also use digital as well, but we've had a recent cost go up in our lead platform. So one of our key leaders was on vacation. I did not want to bother him, but I did send him a text. Hey, we're having a very important call because he was on vacation. Make sure you just jump on and listen in because it was going to affect his bottom line. So a simple message like that, just letting them know, communicating with them, hey, you really need to be a part of this call today because we're discussing your bottom line. And I think it's just those extra steps, making sure that you're engaged and communicating with your leaders or, you know, those folks that, hey, I haven't reached out to so-and-so in a while and I just want to make sure, check in and see how they're doing.
Yeah. And I'll just say, yes, communication is the key. But it's also, so how are things changing? Maybe is if we're talking about communicating change. But I would say the as most important aspect of communication when it comes to that is why. Why are they changing? Because I've seen so many times when a frontline executor doesn't understand why things are changing, if that's and most times that's for their benefit or because it just has to be, then they don't necessarily know why or why they should get behind it, because change is always we're reluctant to change, right? So it's always met with a little bit of reluctance. But when you know why, so in that example right there, as we as a company rolled that down to the people that were going to be living through this change, the key things to communicate were why they're changing. And maybe not just why they're changing, but what we're also doing to solve and adapt so we can win in this situation, right? I mean, the why is just as important.
Absolutely. It's absolutely important. And just to make sure that we're as transparent as we can be to ensure that they understand, because it's just like a brand new individual, brand new agent that you take out into the field. Hey, why do we show up unannounced? Why do we knock on this door? Why do we use some of the verbiage that we use? Right. And then explaining to them why we do that, because that is a crucial part that they understand. Hey, here's why we do this. This is why that we, you know, show up, show them the card. Hey, we've got your information, because that's the best way. The boomers are the ones that we are serving. That's the best way to get that information to them. I'll tell you, my mom is a boomer. Okay. And she does not really love getting anything sales-wise over the phone. She doesn't understand it. She wants to sit down and talk somebody face to face. And I laugh with her about it. She's like, I'm getting all these Medicare calls and all these things. And so it's funny because she still enjoys the face to face and understanding something complex and just breaking it down very simple.
Yeah. And as you think about that or say that, I think about the details through our process, right? And again, the process that we're teaching a new person has been executed over a million times. And there are things that we talk about in that process as small as waving your white flag, which are your lead cards, as you walk to the door and you look at the window, because Miss Jones might just be peeking through there. And if she happens to think that you saw her looking at you,
that's
likely to answer. But if the agent doesn't understand why we do that, those small details that turn into an assumptive sale, they get overlooked. And at the end of it, you get questions or you're not performing the way that you should because of the small things. So 100%, I love that, because the details are figured out. And I think that's figured out because of this number three value. And I love this value. And I think sometimes it can get overlooked, but it goes the longest way when you talk about leading someone or asking somebody to do something. And, you know, we mentioned emotional deposits, right? And with value number three, your emotional deposit immediately rises. So with that, getting fully immersed is value three. Understanding how things work, as well as understanding where your opportunities are. Lead, quote unquote, leading from the front, right? We've said it a lot, like, I'm never going to ask you to do something I wouldn't do myself, or we haven't already done. And we've kind of danced around that already. And when you think about our process of running a lead card, those are things we've done thousands of times. So we know how it works, and we know how that and where your opportunities are, which is the key to getting resourceful. You've got resourceful opportunities sitting right in front of you. Why do we know it? Because we've been there, done that. As Glenn says, got the t-shirt. So when you think about leading from the front, I know this has been a big part of our movement over the last few years. Mm-hmm. How have you displayed that example as the high level leader?
Well, being immersed is something that's very important to myself and to us, because when I think about, you know, I personally knocked doors for 7 years. And so knocking doors, understanding the clientele that we serve, understanding the demographics, understanding the leads, understanding areas. And so I can confidently say I do understand how our agents feel at times. I truly do, because I personally have been there myself. So I think that builds an ability to really be relatable, because we have been out there knocking doors, understanding what that process looks like. And, you know, leading from the front, me personally, I never want to ask someone to do something that I personally have not done myself. So, you know, whether that be final expense, and with our partnership with AmeriLife, that really opened a door for the health space for Medicare. So over the last 2 years, that's been another avenue that we have gotten into, and that I personally have gotten into, and really have broke down and understand that business, and have reached out to several of our agents. Hey, if you've got a question, hey, if you need to understand how to work Sunfire, call me, and I can walk you through. FaceTime me. I can walk you through on that app. So that was very important. And you know, as things have evolved, getting into this retirement space is another avenue that we're going down. We're in the process of pioneering that's going to help bring profitability to our agents. Because at the end of the day, it's really about what Crystal said. Like, once you get really good at one thing, you got to be really good at one thing first. But once you get comfortable, in order to continue to grow and get uncomfortable, you've got to reach that next level. And that just stuck out so much to me. And there's a lot of folks that probably did not see me knock on doors, because we've grown exponentially over the last really, truly 3 years. We have grown rapidly. And, you know, something that I heard a quote one time, and I loved it because it stuck with me so much, is you can't compare your chapter one to our chapter 20. And, you know, because we have continued to evolve, and I still have a tremendous amount to learn and grow. But you can't compare yourself to someone who's been here 11 years and have been through, you know, different adversities compared to yours. So it's just continuing to grow and foster and not getting too comfortable, really living in that uncomfortable space, because that's what fosters growth.
Yeah. And I think overall allows for fulfillment. Right. And that's my personal experience, right? When you reach that comfort zone, for me at least, it's been very easy to lose excitement, lose the enjoyment, lose the vision, lose the passion, but to remain pushing and challenging and opening up new doors. Number one, you're creating a bigger space for someone else, but you're also maintaining fulfillment of what brought us here. That's been a completely life-changing business for us in the first place. So I also want to segue this because I think that leading from the front prepares you for this last and final value. And that is because you've been there, done that. It allows for you to live out what Bill mentions as being the number four key to the success they've had there with him leading through Churchill. And that is being empathetic. You've got to be empathetic. You've got to be a good listener to your team, great at empowering your members to make decisions. I love that because it's so hard to do. But the second side of that is you've got to be there and supporting them if their desired outcome, what they were attempting to do, did not pan out. You are their leader, right? You've got to equip and empower them to make a decision and be comfortable with them failing, but then be there to help them learn, adapt, and change to achieve what it is that they're trying to achieve. And I think that that's where leading from the front, you know what it feels like, right? You know what it feels like to be doing something you may not be comfortable doing, to be doing something that you're doing for the first time, not necessarily feeling like you're equipped to do it, but you've been asked and empowered to do it, and you failed, right?
Right.
Who do you go to at that point? You're looking for that leader. You're looking for that person to step in and comfort and allow you to get bigger, better, learn from that mistake, and not make it again. Right. I love how I think Bill said it in this podcast. It's okay if you make a mistake, just don't make it again.
Correct. Correct.
So when you think about empathy, Lindsay, what does that mean to you as a leader of so many others here at Hype?
Well, I go back to, again, a book that we read back in, I think it was in 2020, Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the bullet points was seek to understand. And so really, when you think about empathy and you think about the individuals that you're leading, whether that be in your office or in the field or your family or whoever that individual is, really seeking to understand their point of view. And this can be really hard. But if I know, hey, I've got a leader right now, has a family, has a wife, you know, has a lot of financial responsibility within this business. And, you know, just really understanding where are some of the frustrations coming from, right? And just really empathizing with them. And I think that comes from, one, our business is built on relationships. And so really understanding and getting to know the people that you're doing life with, the people that you're working with. Because when you have a better understanding of those individuals that you're working with, you're able to communicate better. And that goes a long way. That goes a long way in a difficult conversation. That goes a long way in, hey, I need a little help here. Hey, I need some feedback on this new product that we're getting ready to roll out. Just really being able to connect and communicate. And that comes from building a relationship. And a relationship is not built overnight. That takes time, and it takes time to build it. And just, again, going back to communicating and having, David, what you said earlier, emotional deposits, right? Having those emotional deposits and, you know, where you're really encouraging and empowering them. And hey, if something didn't go right, if they didn't get the outcome from their hiring event where they were looking to hire, you know, five people and they didn't get anybody, hey, okay, let's talk about who you interviewed. Let's pivot here. Let's look at what we did well, what could have gone better, and what's in your control. What can you control? Because bottom line, that's what it boils down to. You can control your attitude and you can control your effort. So just looking at your controllables and really just maneuvering through there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's hard to work with somebody when you don't feel heard, right? So when you look at that two-way street, whether that's yourself and a consumer, and you're in the home and you're not hearing anything they say or telling anything they're asking you for or telling you why they may need this product or why they sent this card in, or it's a agent seeking to be better and bigger and do new things in their business, the number one thing they are looking for is to be heard, right? I love how you reference seeking to understand. Such a valuable thing. I think that's great. So we keep it simple. There's four key traits and values of being a great leader and winning and wowing over your customer, your consumer, your agent, or just your relationships. And that is doing what you got to do. Get resourceful, communicate, lead from the front, and lead empathetically. I want to, again, shout out Bill Mudd, Churchill Downs, 151st Derby winner, Sovereignty. Congratulations. Good luck in the Preakness and the Belmont coming up. And we thank you guys for tuning in. Follow, like, subscribe. As always, share if you see value here. Others would too.
Absolutely. And again, thank you to our listeners. And in honor of Derby Week, go, baby, go. See you all next time.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial, that's HIPE.financial, to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.
Retirement. Whether it's 5 years out or 20, your retirement plan needs your attention. I'm Jim Tiraboke here for the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. You've worked hard, built a career, raised a family, maybe even helped with college tuition, paid off the house. Remember that dream vacation? What seemed like small life events in the past context later proved as accomplishments. But now, retirement is just around the corner. Andrew G. Biggs of the American Enterprise Institute says for the first time in years, there's a level of optimism around retirement.
The U.S. retirement system is stronger than it's ever been. Retirement incomes have never been higher. Retirement savings have never been higher. Participation in retirement plans has never been higher. All the things we would like our retirement system to be doing, it is doing.
Depending on your age, you may have entered one of the most important time periods of your life, the final stretch. And it's important to take the necessary steps to ensure a safe financial future. Chief Financial Advisor of Active Wealth Management and radio host Ford Stokes.
To do retirement right, you need a solid plan that includes a clear vision. How are you going to fund that retirement? You need a plan for when you'll take Social Security, an income plan that will allow you to beat your budget, a sound investment strategy for any retirement accounts you may have.
A cornerstone of retirement planning is determining not only how much to save, but also where to save it. There's no single best retirement plan, but there is likely a best retirement plan or combination of retirement accounts for you. Do you know when to take Social Security? How does your health care fit in? Will your savings last if you need them to? These are common questions, but you don't have to face them alone. So it's never too early, no matter what your age, to sit down with your financial advisor, look over your income sources, double-check your withdrawals, make sure everything lines up with how you want to live and the priorities you have set for yourself in your retirement. A small adjustment today can give you greater peace of mind tomorrow. You've earned this next chapter. Now make sure you can enjoy it confidently. For the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Tiraboke.